If you would, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and take a look at your notes there if you want to, if you want to follow along. Ephesians chapter number 1. We're here to look to God, and hopefully He'll give us something today. I hope that's your heart's desire. I pray for each one of you here that God has something for you. I believe that a sermon, if we turn it over to the Lord, that it's designed in such a way by God, not by the preacher, not by anyone else, but by God, so that everyone who's in that service can find something there that God has for them. And that's one of the exciting things about the beauty of what God can do. As you know, the Bible instructs us to cast our care upon the Lord and to be thankful to Him for all the many blessings that He bestows upon us. And we saw in our devotional today, there's a lot of blessings we may not even consider, but they're happening all the time all around us. And whenever we're thanking the Lord, we like to thank Him for, well, all kinds of things. We thank Him for our families. We thank Him for our friends. We thank Him for what He's done for us, for our jobs, for a place to live, for our car, for the food that we eat every single day. But today, I'd like you to look just for a while at what God is going to do for you. And I'd like us to be thankful for our inheritance. I'd like you to be thankful for your inheritance. I want to be thankful for the inheritance that God has for us. You realize that God, when God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen, God says so, that is more sure, it is more certain than when your neighbor tells you that he saw something happen. I mean, God, what I'm saying is God's word is, it's absolutely true. You don't have to worry about it. And God says that He has some things for His people. I'm not even going to try to describe all the things, but we're going to talk this morning about the concept of God having for us an inheritance. And we're going to start with prayer, not my prayer, but a prayer that Paul had for the Ephesians, for the church at Ephesus. And we'll read it here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you." Okay, so he's thankful for them right there. "Making mention of you in my prayers." Okay, now he's going to talk about how he's praying for them. He says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Heavenly Father, as we study this matter of the inheritance that we ought to be thankful for, we pray, Lord, that that is exactly the results of today, that we will be so ever thankful for knowing for certain that these things are awaiting us after this life. And we pray, Lord, that You'd help us to have understanding of these things and to look in expectation for them, but mostly, Lord, that we'll be looking for You to come, that we might be with You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You see here that Paul, he's praying for this church at Ephesus, he's praying for the people, and one of the things he's praying is that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened. He's talking to saved people. He's talking to people who already know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then he goes a little bit further. He says, "I want you to have a little opening of your understanding. I want the scales to be taken off a little bit. I want your eyes to be cleared up to where you can see something that you really haven't been able to totally see before. I want it to be opened up to you." And he names about three things. If we put them in big categories, we'll see three things. The first one, he says, I want your eyes to be opened that ye may know what is the hope of your calling, of his calling, excuse me. Okay, that you might really know what is the hope of God's call upon your life, the calling that God has given to you. And then the last thing he mentions is in verse 19, he says, I want your eyes to be opened that you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. We sometimes think that God can't do anything, he can't do something for us. Okay, and we're not claiming that we have a weak God. We just claim that we have a God who's, I guess we think he's weak on our behalf. We think we have a God who acts in a weak way. Oh no, not at all. We have a powerful God, and sometimes we need to have our eyes opened to where we can understand that power. But I want to dwell on what I want to dwell on this morning is in the middle of these three things that Paul prays for their eyes to be opened about. That's in verse number 18, where he says in the last part of the verse, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. I believe Paul is saying to us today, if you and I could get a vision of what our inheritance is, of what it means to receive an inheritance in Jesus Christ, what he gives to the saints, what he gives to those who know him and who love him, if you could get a hold of that, it would change your life. It would change the way you look at this old world. It wouldn't seem like such a great thing anymore. It would change the way you think about how you're going to live your life today. It would change some things about you because you would start seeing just what a great thing it's going to be when we get up there to heaven. So the next time you're thanking God for all those other things, I want you to thank him for your inheritance in Jesus Christ, your inheritance. I want you to thank him for what he has for you. I want to give you some things about this inheritance today. You say, well, what is it? Well, I hope you understand I wouldn't possibly be able to give you everything about it, but I'll give you a few things. It's heaven. It's a home with God. It's being face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, with being with him forever. It's having a glorified body, and that's a body that's not going to ache or pain anymore. It's not going to die anymore. It'll be an incorruptible body. It includes the joys of heaven. It's the time when the saints, it's a time with all the saints throughout history, time that we have eternally. It's the privilege that we have in serving God, and it'll be a privilege. And it's much more, so much more. That's our inheritance. And I can't just name the things to you and try to give them to you today, but I want you to start thinking about that inheritance today. Think about what God has for you and what he has for me and those of us who know him, okay? We're talking about those who know him. First of all, we want to look at the partakers of God's inheritance, the partakers of God's inheritance. Do you realize that everybody does not partake of this inheritance? This inheritance is not for everybody. Well, and then you got some who say it's only for those who work hard. Let me say something. I'm going to say something today, and I don't want to discourage those of you who just want to have something good to beat people up with. I mean, I don't want to discourage you from beating people up every now and then, you know. Sometimes we need to be beat up. But what I want to do is make you realize that there's a difference. There's a distinction between an absolute inheritance that we receive in Christ by our joint heirship with him. We're heirs with him. And I want to make a distinction between that and our rewards. See, because those rewards, man, they go up, they go down according to our service for the Lord. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I realize in some context that that can be considered part of our inheritance. There's a part of our inheritance that God deals with us, deals with as rewards. Those are things that simply go up and down. I mean, if you serve God, if you suffer for him, you're going to receive some glory. You're going to receive some blessing. You're going to get some things that you wouldn't have got if you just decided to live some sort of a nominal Christian life, if you want to call it that. It doesn't really make sense, but if you just wanted to kind of float through life until you get to heaven, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Go on to be with God. But do you know what I find? I find that God motivates us probably more today by grace than he does by law. I don't know if anybody's ever figured that out yet, but he does. And what he does is he motivates us by grace by saying, you know what? I'm going to motivate you by giving you a lot more than you deserve. I'm going to bless you. I am going to heap these things upon you. I'm going to do all these good things for you and see what you do with them. And so my message today is not mainly what you can do for God. It's what God has done for you, with the hope that we can look and say, you know what? That makes me want to do something for him when I think about that. But let's look at it a little bit. First of all, you have to be partakers of his inheritance, and it has to be according to his purpose. Okay, let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. The Bible says there, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, okay, that's when it's all over with, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Okay, do you realize what that just said there? He said, you have obtained, past tense, you have obtained an inheritance. He's speaking as a living man at this time. He's speaking to living believers, and he says, we have obtained, past tense, an inheritance. Okay? There is an inheritance that already belongs to us. He says, being predestinated. Predestinated, that's talking about your inheritance. Okay, man, he's talking about you're already getting it. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. There is an inheritance that is according to the purpose of his will. There's an inheritance that does not have anything to do with how good you are. You say, preacher, you can't preach that. That's going to make everybody lazy if you do. Well, only if they don't understand it. Only if they don't really get what I'm trying to say here. Do you realize that if you are saved, you're going to get a glorified body? You are going to get a glorified body. And your glorified body, even if you don't serve God, is going to work just as good as Paul's glorified body. Do you understand that? Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? I mean, I don't have to worry about getting to heaven and saying, hey, how come he can lift that much and I'm weaker? I can only lift half as much. I guess I wasn't as good as he was when I was on earth. You are going to have a glorified body. And as long as you are saved, you're still going to get to be with Jesus. You're still going to get to serve him. Do you realize that just by knowing Jesus Christ, there's a wonderful, absolute, marvelous inheritance that has already been assigned to us in Him. It's already our inheritance. Do you realize that when you start reading this book, this Holy Bible, and realizing what God has done for you, and instead of making you uncaring or unconcerned about what God has done for you, it makes you realize that, man, you're walking on holy ground. It makes you realize that He's done some special things for you. And what a blessing it is. All right, you see here as we go on in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, we see who it is for. It says, "In whom ye also trusted," talking about in Christ, the verse before that, "in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest." Okay, that's the down payment, the guarantee of our inheritance. In other words, if you're saved here today, God has given you a guarantee of your inheritance. How could you not get an inheritance then? Now, you may not get the rewards. You may lose all of your rewards, in fact. And that's a sad tale, but that's not what we're talking about today. I'm talking about your inheritance in Jesus Christ. He says here, which is the earnest. That means the guarantee, the down payment, the Holy Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. By the way, that's the second time in three verses that He said that's to the praise of His glory. You see, the inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ is not going to be something where you get in there and you get all proud and you say, look what I've done, because you're not going to do that, because everybody else is going to have the same thing you got. No, it's going to be, look what He has done. Okay, you see, that's what you're going to be doing up in heaven. Do you think you're going to be looking over and saying, hey, He's got a bigger mansion than I do? No, you're not going to be doing that. You're going to be looking and saying, man, look what God has done for me. Do you realize everybody in heaven, when they show up in heaven, are going to be glorifying God and praising Him because He gave them too much? Everybody from the least to the greatest, they're going to be praising God because they got more than they deserved. And they're just going to be saying praise to Him because of what He has done. What He has done. But how do you get that? Well, it says here in verse number 14, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Okay? So, you have to hear the gospel. Okay? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. You have to hear the gospel. Now, He doesn't give it in perfect chronological order here. He's given it to us logically. Okay? Just reading it, you can see the order. You have to hear the gospel. Okay, you know what the gospel is? You find it in 1 Corinthians 15 very clearly. First few verses define the gospel as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. Okay, you have to hear that gospel. You have to hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You have to realize that He was buried and that there was and that He was there for 3 days and three nights. You have to realize that He rose again from the dead, triumphant over death and hell and the grave. and that he offers you eternal life through that. Now, to some degree, I don't know how much you have to really understand this, but to some degree, you have to realize that he paid the price for your sins on the cross. You have to understand that your sins are sending you to hell, and you need to look to him. You have to realize, and again, I don't know if you have to realize that it's in the resurrection, but you have to realize that through trusting him, you can have eternal life. And you have to come to him in your heart at some time and look to him and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't save myself. I can't get anything right. But Lord, I trust you. I know you died on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I feel this burden of sin on me right now, but I'm trusting in you. I choose to trust in you. Would you save me right now? You say, oh, wait, say that again, brother. I need to write this down. I don't know if I can get those words right. You don't have to get those words right. What I'm saying is it's just looking to Jesus in your heart. Okay? Let's look what Isaiah 45:22 says. The Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Okay, now that is talking about Jehovah God, but doesn't that fit Jesus Christ? You look and you live. You believe in him. You believe in Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, I'm trusting everything in you. I'm putting all my trust in you and not in myself. And that's how you become partakers of this inheritance we're talking about today. You say, but you're scratching your head now. You say, I thought I had to work real hard, though. Well, that's, again, that's something else. That's an extra part of what we have, okay? But this inheritance is what we have simply because we know him. Do you think you're going to get 3/4 of the way up to heaven and have to sit there for eternity? I mean, listen, there's an inheritance that when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get it all. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today? That's what makes you partakers of his inheritance. All right, just one more verse on this, and then we'll move to the next point. But in Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. Okay, that means you inherit. Heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. You become an heir when you are justified by his grace, when you are saved by the grace of God, when you are made righteous, okay, not by your works, but by his imputed righteousness. Then you're on your way to heaven, then you are an heir. Okay, now that's who the partakers are. But you'll understand this partakership, if you want to call it that, you'll understand that a little bit better when you understand your partnership. Okay? So secondly, I want to talk about our partner in God's inheritance. Let's look for this in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. The Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, so the Bible says we are the children of God, and that the Spirit witnesses to that. And if children, okay, are you a child of God today? Okay, are you a child of God? You say, well, how do you get to be a child of God? You get born again. You get saved. You trust in Jesus Christ, as I said earlier. So he says, if children, then heirs. In other words, all God's children are heirs. But how are you heirs? If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The amount of glory you receive is connected to how much you suffer for Christ. Now, I'm not taking away from that, but there is this sense in which we inherit with Christ. That's what I'm talking about today. And he says we are joint heirs with Christ. Well, a joint heir is someone who shares an inheritance. They both have part in an inheritance. And so there's a sense where you get saved and you get part of the same inheritance. And I always try to avoid using that word share when I'm preaching, because that word share has a sense of dividing something up, and then you only get a little piece of it, okay? And so you don't get the whole thing. But God says that together we are partners. We are joint heirs in his inheritance. Well, how can that be bad, friends? It's going to be good. It's going to be good. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are receiving with him that inheritance. Okay, let's look at Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. Bible says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Through Christ, we have that inheritance. We are his partners in inheritance. And you know what? That's a good inheritance to have a part in. Let me give you a carnal illustration to make a spiritual point, if I may. What if you got a letter from Bill Gates, from Bill Gates' lawyer, and in that letter it says that you and three other people were going to be co-heirs in his inheritance when he dies? You're probably going to be praying for Bill Gates to have a short life. Okay, terrible you. All right, but you know what that means, though? If you have a part in his inheritance and he has a whole bunch, that's a pretty good inheritance. Well, we are joint heirs with Christ. We're going to have part in his inheritance. God is going to look at his son, Jesus Christ, and say, son, I want you to have this because of what you've done. And Jesus is going to say, thank you. I'm going to make sure that my brethren get this too. Remember, he's the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, and he's going to pass it out just like he passed out that bread and fish to the 5,000. And he's going to pass it out. He's going to receive his inheritance from the Father. Psalm 2 talks about his inheritance. In Psalm 2:8, God says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And the Lord Jesus says, well, I want my brethren to have this too. That inheritance that the Father's going to give him, he's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to me. And you know what we're going to do? We're not going to say, hey, I didn't get enough. We'll be saying, that's too much, Lord. Lord, you did so much for me. And I'm undeserving, Lord, because I did so little in return. It's too much, Lord. You're going to be so pleased with what he's done for you. Now, I've talked about two things. I talked about how you partake of this inheritance. That's by trusting in Jesus Christ. I talked about who our partner is. That is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's talk just a little bit about our portion in this inheritance. Our portion. And in order to show you this, I want to just look at about two or three verses. And two of them are in Psalm 16. So let's turn to Psalm 16 and look at just three comments about the portion of our inheritance. And man, it's good. In Psalm 16:5, the Bible says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." Well, how can things go wrong when God himself is the portion of your inheritance? He says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance." I receive him and I get him. Listen, when you get the Lord, you get everything that comes with that. I mean, he says that he's the portion. It's like somebody saying to you, "I tell you what, instead of giving you a check for $10,000 out of the bank, here's the keys to the bank, and here's the keys to the safe. It's all yours. You get the whole thing." And man, there's a lot in there. So you look there and you realize, you see, you receive him. You received everything. Not only that, but he says in verse 6 of Psalm 16, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." See, first of all, I want you to realize that the Lord is your portion. But another thing I want you to realize about that is that it is a pleasant portion. It's pleasant. You're going to enjoy it. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." You know what? You're going to enjoy your inheritance when you get to heaven. Well, somebody says, "Well, you know, I don't even like musical instruments, and I don't want to just sit around all day and play a harp forever. That sounds kind of boring." Well, let me tell you something about your existence in heaven, and I can't absolutely tell you anything in particular because I don't know that, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to like it. You are going to like it. The Bible says that his servants shall serve him. You're going to have things to do there. A lot of people, they think we're just going to be up there lounging forever. Well, lounging is nice, I guess, for the first hour or two, a day at the most. But after a while, you want to have something to do, some purpose. And whenever I go on vacation, I do some lounging until I get bored. And I think I could use some lounging right now. But I tell you what, I get bored to death if I don't have something to work on. And I always start looking for something to do. But my point is that man needs to have challenging things to do in his life in order to get a sense of satisfaction for a job done right. Well, do you think God doesn't know that? The one who made you? You think he doesn't understand that? You know, you and I, we have no idea what God is going to do in the next world. Wait a minute. What world? I don't know. You don't either. But he says that his servants shall serve him. He's going to be doing something. How can you be serving him if God's not doing something? And I don't know what he's going to have us do. You ever consider that the things that you and I have seen in God's creation so far, they may just be a small sample of God's power and God's imagination. I personally, I believe we're going to continue to be amazed at what God will do, what he's going to do. I believe we're going to be satisfied on a daily basis because of what God is doing and because we get to be part of it. Listen, for eternity, you get to serve God. You get to serve him and you're going to like it. I mean, you're not going to go to work one day, after about, let's say, 3 million years and then say, "Oh, man, again, I wish I had gone to hell instead." No, and by the way, that's the only other option. But you say, "I like challenges." Well, God will give you challenges, okay? You say, "Well, I like to do interesting things." He's going to give you interesting things to do. But you got to remember, the flesh is going to be gone. The wickedness is going to be gone. But you're still going to be you, and you're going to be given an inheritance that is pleasant to you. Oh, God's good. God is good. Not only that, Let me give you one other little thought about this inheritance. In Psalm 47 and verse 4, and I know this is Israel right here, but we're looking at a principle. In Psalm 47 verse 4, the Bible says, He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. He shall choose our inheritance for us. Let me ask you, who knows you better than anybody else? It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your kids, not your parents, not your best friend. God knows you better than anybody else. And do you know what he's going to do? He's going to pick out your inheritance just for you. It's going to be particularly designed for you. Here's what I've got for you. You say, well, he couldn't possibly do that individually. That'd take a long time. Well, don't forget, he's God. He can do things that we can't understand. But I mean, we're talking about eternity, you know? And okay, what if it does take a little while before he gets to your appointment? If it works that way, I don't know. And what if there are a lot of people ahead of you? But maybe the Lord Jesus comes to you and says, well, I've looked at your situation. We've looked at how you're made, how we've created you. We've looked at what experiences you had there on earth. You say, oh, is that going to have anything to do with it? Of course it is. How do you serve God right now on earth? Okay. He says, we've looked at that whole situation and we decided this is the best spot for you. Wow. What a God. I mean, you look at that and see it's particular. Okay? So we see that portion is in the person of the Lord Jesus. That portion is pleasant. That portion is particular to us. It's just for you, brethren. Now you say, well, I don't want to lose that, right? By the way, there are rewards that you can gain or you can lose today. Okay? And boy, that makes a good hard preaching message talking about rewards. And I like to preach it, but that's not what we're talking about today. And I'm going to show you that God is so good to you, he's going to give you good things whether you deserve it or not, whether you've earned it or not, because Jesus deserves it. And if you're in Christ, you're going to be a joint heir of his inheritance. That's a good God. Now, the fourth thing I want you to see is the preservation of our inheritance. 1 Peter 1, so you say, well, I don't want to lose this. And I know there's a danger in preaching this kind of message, telling you that there's an inheritance you can't lose. Believe me, I thought about that danger. All of a sudden, everybody's saying, oh, good, I guess I don't have to worry about doing good anymore because anyway, I got that inheritance, can't lose it. But you're not getting the point if that's what's going through your mind. You realize what he's done for you. My fifth and last point, I'm hoping, is going to give you the point. But we're at the fourth point right now. The preservation of our inheritance. Let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He says, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope to an inheritance. What is this inheritance? This is the inheritance of the saints. He says, who are kept by the power of God. And all who are kept by the power of God have this inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There it is. You have an inheritance up there. It has been reserved in heaven. God has already picked it out. He's already said, this is your inheritance. It's already been set aside. Nobody else can have it. Nobody else can touch it. Nobody else can share it. It's yours. You say, well, why would God be that good to me? Why would it be so good that his son would come down to this earth and die on the cross for your sins? Okay, you don't deserve that. The Bible says if he wouldn't withhold his son from you, he wouldn't withhold anything from you. Did you get saved because you were so good? You got saved because you had no other hope but Jesus Christ. And when he saved you, he not only gave you eternal life, he says, I have an inheritance for you. And it's reserved, it's undefiled, it's incorruptible, it's in heaven already. And it's reserved for you. Now Matthew 6 talks about one that you can add and take away from. It's probably connected to this. But I believe that it is in addition to this. Let's look at Matthew 6 verses 19 and 20 real briefly. The Bible there says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, it's kind of like I already said, the bank is yours, but if you want to put something in there, anything you want to, you can have a little bit more. But he says that inheritance is yours and it belongs to you and it's God's blessing to you. You say, well, what should this lead you to do? It ought to lead you to love God. Okay, it leads to greater devotion from us. We love God more. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20-21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But I want you to understand something. We serve God and we receive rewards. Okay? We can actually lose those rewards. We can lose rewards. But you know what? There are some things that belong to God. You see, that inheritance, that's yours for Jesus' sake. Okay? It's not yours for your sake. It's yours for Jesus' sake. I want you to, let me ask you something. I could go on more on this point, but I want to get to that last thing, the last point. I talked about who are the partakers, those who trust in Jesus Christ. Who's your partner? It is Jesus Christ. What is the portion of it? Well, our portion is the Lord. It's pleasant, and it's particularly made for us. How is it preserved? It's preserved in heaven for us. Nothing can take it away. Do you know what my thought is when I think of this, all of this stuff? My thoughts. I'm serious. My thought is, what in the world does God get out of all of this? I mean, have you ever thought about what God gets out of sending his son to die on the cross? I mean, what does God get out of it? I'm going to tell you what God gets out of it from the Bible. He gets you. Let me show you this in Scripture. You are God's inheritance. And there are verses for Christians, and there are verses for Israel. But you, God's people, are God's inheritance. What he gets out of all this, he gets us, his people. First of all, let's look in an Old Testament passage, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Man, you ought to get this and go over this. This is a short verse, but it sure would be a good memory verse. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. By the way, the word portion, it's often used to indicate what part you get of the inheritance. That's the meaning of the word portion here. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. If I could burn anything in your hearts and in your minds today, it would be this. You are God's portion. The Lord's portion is his people. You are God's inheritance. That's it. What does he get out of all of it? He gets us. You say, boy, he doesn't get much, does he? But you know what that ought to make you want to do? Do a little bit more. Give him a little more. He's given you all these things. Doesn't that make you want to do more for him? Now, I know he's using the reward system, but most of this is already done, friends. It's done. It's a done deal. You have the home in heaven. You have the glorified body. You have the purpose that God's going to give you in eternity. You have all those things and more, and they belong to you no matter what. And you say, Lord, what do you get out of all this? He gets us. The Lord's portion is his people. Let me show you a couple of verses in the New Testament. Acts chapter 15, verse number 14. Here you have the record of when Paul and Barnabas decide they need to go up to Jerusalem, speak to the apostles and elders, find out what they're supposed to do with these Gentiles concerning whether to circumcise or not to circumcise. Well, the good news is we got in. So, okay, don't worry about it. But here they're trying to figure out what to do with the Gentiles. And in chapter 15, Acts 15, verse 14, the Bible says, and this is James speaking here, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Think about that alongside the words, the Lord's portion is his people. He has come to visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. We are his portion. Yes, he's even going to present us to himself. You know what it means to present? It means to give as a present. You are the present that God gets. You are his inheritance. You are God's portion. I don't know how to get you to understand this. I just know it's important. If you will listen to it, if you'll meditate on what I'm saying, I want you to understand that the Lord's portion is his people. You are his portion. He comes to call a people for his name out of the Gentiles. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Okay, that's one of the hardest commandments in the Bible right there. And don't misunderstand what I just said. It's one of the hardest commandments in the Bible when you read the whole verse. It's not hard for me to, or for any man to love his wife. It's hard for you to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what's hard. But he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. As a bride, he presents it to himself. You know what? He's going to present the church to himself as an untarnished, clean, pure bride. You look at that and you realize that we are what he gets. I mean, for the better or for the worse, we are what he gets for his inheritance. Now, if you're saved here today and you've already got a certain amount that is yours, you are going to get those things. Nobody can take them away from you. You can't take them away from yourself. They're yours, whether you deserve them or not. And by the way, nobody deserves them, but they're yours. You know, don't worry about whether somebody deserves them or not. Paul doesn't deserve them any more than you do or I do. You know, there are going to be other things that you can do to live for God, and he'll give you further rewards, and he'll bless you as a result. I mean, talk about a system. When you look at that, that's like somebody coming in, and they say, you know what? We're going to start you on this job, and we're going to give you $1,000 an hour to do this job. And that's just a fixed rate. That's just the base rate on this job. But every time you sell something, and it's real easy to sell, you're going to get another $2,000 bonus on top of it. You say, hey, can you tell me where that job is, Brother Bob? Yeah, I know. That'd be good, wouldn't it? It's all here, though. Serving God, giving your life to him, that's where it is. Only God can make something that good. But you look here, he says it belongs to him. The thing is, though, all this stuff is yours. And when you get right down to it, the only thing God gets is you. You say, well, maybe we can build him something. He scoffed at the buildings of men. Maybe we can give him our money. You know what you do when you give your money in some way to the Lord? You're glorifying him and you're honoring him and you're saying, Lord, thou art worthy. Okay, you're worshiping. That's your worship. But you're not making God any richer and you're not making him any poorer if you steal from him and you decide to keep it to yourself. You know, you're not doing either one or the other. You know what God says in Psalm 50, verses 10 to 12? He says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Okay, so you're giving, that's an act of worship. Okay, what are you going to do for God? Do you know the only thing you can really do for God? Really? All you can do, in a spiritual sense, is step into the offering plate yourself. Offer yourself to God. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present, there's that present again, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your outstanding service. Which is your unbelievable service. No. It says, which is your reasonable service. It only stands to reason. It'd be crazy not to do it. It'd be weird. It's logical. Okay? You don't really understand that sacrificing and giving all to Christ is reasonable service because you don't understand in your heart how much he's done for you. So I pray today that God may open your eyes and enlighten your understanding. You know, they used to have these game shows. I don't know if they do it anymore, but in those old-timey game shows, they'd have these curtains, and those curtains would open up to reveal, here's your prize. You know what it means to reveal? A veil is a curtain. To reveal means to remove the veil. That's where that word reveal comes from. A revelation is a pulling back of the curtain. You know what I'd like God to do with you this morning? It's still morning. You know what I'd like God to do? Let's say that there's several curtains right there in front of you, and behind those curtains are all the things God has for you. I mean, these are the things that you can't even lose. These are things you can't even throw away by if you mess up too bad. And I wish just for a moment that God would take that curtain and he would pull it back and he'd pull it back and he'd pull it back, and you could look in there and you would see all that he's done for you. And you could say in your heart, Lord, what can I do for such a God? What can I do in return for such a God? And you'd come to him and say, Lord, how can I ever repay you? What do you want? What do you want me to do? You want me to do this? You want me to do that? You name it. He says, no. He says, all I want is you. You are my portion. You are my inheritance. Would you give yourself? He asked you, would you give yourself wholly to me? If you're here today and God's dealing with you as a Christian, as a believer, he's saying, you know, you're holding back, aren't you? You're living your life. You're living it for yourself. So all I'm asking is, would you give yourself to me this morning? And if you're here today and you've never been saved, you say, preacher, you're talking about all that inheritance stuff, but I'm not a partaker yet. Well, if you'd contact me somehow today when we're done and just say, pastor, I need to be saved, I'll show you from the Bible what you need to do to be saved. And I'll give you all the time you need so that you can know that you are saved before we're done. And you can take care of that today. You don't need to wait one more day. And then you can be a partaker of this inheritance I've been talking about. The inheritance of the saints. That's a mighty wonder in Scripture, isn't it? What does it do for you? Well, it does a lot for you. But what are you going to do about it? That's the big question. Would you be willing to make yourself freely God's portion? You are anyway if you're saved, but I'm asking you, would you give yourself to him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us that we have so much to look forward to, so much that is already ours, so many things that we don't deserve, but Jesus Christ deserves it, and we get part of that inheritance, and we're so grateful for that, Lord. I pray that you've given all of us a grateful heart today, and that we will give ourselves completely to you as your portion. Lord, we pray that you'll guide us along the way in our lives, show us where we're lacking, help us, Lord, to live a life that you'd want, to live a life that is that we could present to you as a present that would be pleasing to you. Father, we fail you every day, and we ask your forgiveness for that, and we ask that you would help us to repent of all of our wrongdoings, all of our sins, and live lives that are aiming to be holy, aiming to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.